Welcome to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast designed for small business owners, the backbone of the American economy. Join us as our hosts, Austin and Landon, share insights and experiences as small business owners, active investors and operators who have started, bought, sold, and grown several successful businesses. Tycoons is powered by Backbone Planning Partners, a business consulting and wealth management firm built specifically to serve small and medium-sized businesses.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of Tycoons of Small Biz. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, coming to you live from Gilbert, Arizona this morning. And my co-host, Landon Mance, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada. Landon, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, sir. Excellent.
Good. Well, it's the time of year where we're putting a couple extra layers on in Arizona and Nevada. So it's what I would call the best time of the year. What's actually unique that most people may not know about Arizona and Nevada is that they are small business hotbeds. There is a bunch of entrepreneurial type companies in Nevada and Arizona. So for those of you who are listening who may not realize, Arizona, I'll speak for Arizona, it's where I live. The Phoenix Valley is about 8 million people, about 7.5 million people live in the Phoenix Valley. It's a very large area. It's the sixth largest metro area in the country. People don't realize that it's actually that large and it's a big area. But what's unique about that is being the sixth largest metro area in the country, there's only two Fortune 500 companies that have a presence in the Phoenix area. Phoenix is very well known for extremely well-run small and medium-sized businesses. Most of the time, the definition of a small business is having fewer than 500 employees. And that represents actually almost 6 million businesses in our country. And what is interesting, we'll talk about this here in a little bit later, but there were 400,000, let me get this right. In 2024, the US averaged 430,000 new business applications per month, which was a 50% increase from 2019, indicating a surge in entrepreneurial activity. So we're going to talk about that. But Landon, anything you want to mention specifically about Nevada, your experience living there in Las Vegas and small businesses?
Yeah. Well, I'm curious, what's in the water out there in Phoenix? Why are you guys so entrepreneurial?
I don't know, man. It's one of those things that I think that there's Arizona State's right here in the area. University of Arizona is not too far away. They both have pretty entrepreneurial minded staff and the way that they kind of put together their organization. So I think that probably has something to do with it. Arizona State specifically is actually known for being the top, if not the top, one of the very top 1, 2, 3 innovation schools in the country. And so I think that that is a part of it. But just the fact that there aren't a bunch of large employers here in the area, there are some, right? I mean, Vanguard has a big office here. American Express, companies like that have big offices here. But for the most part, it's you're going to go to work for a small business. And so there's plenty of people who say, well, wait a minute, I'll start that small business and let these people go to work for me.
Yeah. So Nevada has a reputation for being one of the friendliest business states in the country. I feel like that has changed a little bit the last few years. I'm not sure if that's due to some new policies or just maybe additional bureaucracy in the state, but I do feel like the atmosphere has changed just a bit here, but still a really positive kind of fostering small business growth and small business initiatives. There is the Las Vegas Chamber of Commerce that is a huge proponent, supporter, advocate for the business environment here in the Valley. I believe that Clark County, which consists of Las Vegas, Henderson, North Las Vegas, I believe Clark County is the largest county in Nevada. Maybe there's one up north. Obviously, I live in Las Vegas, so I can't speak directly to the environment up in northern Nevada, but I know that it is really strong up there as well. There's a lot of well-known startups that have incubated in northern Nevada and turned into large companies. You hear about that actually more than you hear about that transpiring in Las Vegas. But there are organizations that are moving their headquarters to Las Vegas all the time. Alex Hormozi and his wife, I think it's Leela or Layla, they brought their organization out to Las Vegas in the last couple of years. And they have a pretty cool program that they've started. They have a 2-day workshop, and I think they host them like every weekend, and they bring out a bunch of entrepreneurs and kind of open the floodgates to what they built and how they built and who they built it with. And they share a lot of their kind of practices. And so you're seeing a lot of that kind of activity in Nevada, where companies are picking up and moving their headquarters from other less business friendly states, California, and moving them out to Las Vegas.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think it gets overly political to say, and I consider myself pretty centrist, right? But in terms of regulation, there are a lot of companies that are leaving California and Washington specifically because of the increased regulations that are being added for businesses, which makes it more difficult to do business, quite frankly. It makes it more expensive, makes it more difficult to compete. And so they do end up relocating their headquarters to Arizona, Nevada, Texas, Colorado to a certain extent, Utah for sure. A lot of people don't realize this, especially if you're on the East Coast. You know, Utah is a hotbed for startups as well, specifically tech startups. Mm-hmm. They call it the Silicon Slopes. Everybody knows Silicon Valley, but they call it the Silicon Slopes. And so there's a tremendous amount of entrepreneurship in the West overall. And this is a guess, but I think that a lot of that stems from how the West was settled, right? I mean, people who moved from the East to the West, right? Whether it's the gold rush or looking for more land or looking for more freedom, so to speak, they moved West. And so I think that that kind of entrepreneurial spirit has remained for generations out here in the West.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah, that's an interesting observation, man. I never really thought about it like that. But as different groups of folks we're looking for economic, religious, less government intervention, this is where they came out to our neck of the woods, huh?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there was obviously the big move west in the 1800s that kind of changed the landscape of the country. And it's no surprise that the largest populations in our country are on the coasts. I mean, that's just the way that it works. But then you move over just kind of one section. You see it in on the East Coast and on the West Coast, to where it's just a little bit cheaper, a little bit less regulated, but it's not quite the middle of the country, the Midwest, so to speak, which is a great area of the country. I don't mean any disrespect at all, but a lot of people try to stay close to the coast as close as they can, but they end up moving away from the coast at this point because the coastal states, for whatever reason, have tended to be the more regulated states in our country in terms of business. And so a lot of business owners have just kind of over the last probably 30 or 40 years moved from the coast in one state or two, basically.
So let's talk about like, Why are we such big proponents, supporters, and advocates for small business owners? And you mentioned that I think it's the government considers a small business less than 500 employees, which is interesting, because you pull 10 entrepreneurs off the street and ask them what constitutes a small business, I feel like you're going to get 9 or 10 different answers. And even the way that we answer that sometimes varies a little bit. But both of my grandfathers, on my mom's and my dad's side, were both entrepreneurs, built great lives for their families, achieved some level of success. My older sister, who we've had on the show, she started a women's clothing boutique. I definitely got the bug at a very young age, picking lemons off the lemon trees and selling bags of lemons to the neighbors for a buck and mowing lawns and doing all that kind of stuff to raise money or to make money for different ventures, which included paintball guns and a remote control helicopter and some other things I probably shouldn't mention on the show. But I got the bug at a really young age. And as you and I have become more and more entrenched in the, I'm just going to say the entrepreneurial community, because our reach is certainly not limited to Arizona and to Nevada, right? We've got clients that we serve from North Carolina to California and a whole bunch of states in between. And our entire practice has been designed around how to serve the underserved community of small business owners. And so all the content, the stuff that we put out into the world is really targeted at trying to support the small business owner community. And before I elaborate on that a little bit more as to like why other people should care about that and also kind of join us in our mission for supporting the SMB community, which is the small and medium-sized business community, why don't you tell us like why is small business so important to you?
Yeah, so my background's a little bit different in terms of my grandfathers. I would consider them both entrepreneurial in a different aspect. So they were both farmers, actually. So my mom and my dad both grew up on farms. I was actually adopted as a young child. My parents got divorced. My biological father gave up his parental rights. So I was actually raised by a stepdad. I don't know much about my biological paternal grandfather. So I don't know what he did, to be honest with you. I knew my grandmother, but my grandfather passed away before I was born, or at least when I was very young. So never had any interaction with him at all. But farmers, I would consider part of the backbone of the American economy, right? I mean, they definitely drive a significant portion of our economy. And a lot of people don't view them as entrepreneurs, but they definitely are entrepreneurs. They definitely are, for the most part, unless you're working for a larger organization, they are business owners. That is their business, right? And so that was kind of the way that I was raised. Hard work, the importance of putting in an effort to get an outcome. You plant the seed to then yield the harvest later in the year. And so that was kind of the way that I was raised, but my family struggled. So my mother and my stepfather struggled to make a lot of money in any given year. And my dad was an entrepreneur. He owned his own small business, but just like most businesses, it was never uber successful, right? A very large percentage of businesses in our country will never exceed $1 million in revenue. The estimate is that it's only about 9% of small businesses that are exceeding that in terms of net profits, but 86% of small business owners earn an annual salary, meaning either profits or draws or however they're taking it in their company, less than 100,000, right? Well, that was my dad. My dad had his own business. He didn't have to work for anybody else, which was freeing for him. It was a good thing for him, but he never made a whole lot of money. And so growing up, I actually intended to go to law school. That was my plan. I figured lawyers make good money, get an education, go to law school, and you won't have to struggle financially the way that your parents did. And then in ninth grade, I took a class that fit as an elective in my schedule called Entrepreneurship in the Stock Market. And it opened my eyes completely to, wow, like, I definitely want to be a business owner, and I actually want to be a business owner that has something to do with the stock market. I had no idea what that really meant at that time, but I want to do something in that area. And obviously that didn't happen until I was about 23 years old. But, you know, at 23, I got involved in this profession. I got involved in owning my own business and struggled through the first several years, tried to make ends meet, and every small business owner out there. But that's where I kind of got my start, my eyes opened. And now it's like, man, this is such a large percentage of business owners in our country. Most business owners in our country don't become uber successful, don't make gobs of money, don't grow to a large enterprise. They don't have commercials on TV. They don't even have commercials on the radio. Social media has kind of evened that playing field a little bit, but they still don't have the budgets that these large organizations have. And so it's one of those where you kind of root for the underdog, so to speak, and you get out there and you try to support people who really are driving our economy, right? They're not getting the praise, but half of the businesses in our country are small businesses. Half of the people in our country work for small businesses. So why wouldn't we get behind something like that that's really underrepresented, but driving half of the GDP, half of our economy in the country is driven by these small businesses.
Yeah, you made some really good points, man. For people that aren't entrepreneurs, maybe we can just share a couple really quick kind of thoughts and examples around, you know, what the life can be like for entrepreneurs. The energy, the time that entrepreneurs put into building what they're trying to build, the time away from families, loved ones, activities, hobbies. I mean, it's a real, real thing that a lot of us have experienced at different stages of our entrepreneurial journeys. Because by no means is it ever a straight road up. It is filled with bumps and hurdles and David versus Goliath scenarios and all kinds of other things that unless you're an entrepreneur, you just can't even really fathom them. Because when you work for a company, even if it's a small business or if it's the Amazon, I don't care, you generally don't get exposed to the things that are transpiring at the top level, right? The decisions that are made, the back against the wall moments, the cutting of expenses, the firing of people, like all these things that transpire, kind of made me think about a conversation that you and I had recently with one of our clients, and they have had their business for a long time. I think, I want to say 15 years or something like that, that they've had their business. And they're going through a time right now that is extremely challenging. And they've got a great business. They've got a great service. It's service/product that they put out into the world. It's high value. But the hurdles that they have run into the last couple of years have gotten to them to a point where they've had employees just throwing buckets of mud on their name. They've had turnover with employees that was unexpected. They've had big drops in revenue, which leads to big drops in profit. They've had to take on unexpected debt. I mean, the list could go on for another 30 seconds, the challenges that they've had to face. And luckily they've got a strong relationship and a strong marriage, so it doesn't appear that it's affecting them in that regard. But the trials and the tribulations that entrepreneurs have to go through, I mean, it's just, sometimes it's just massive, and carrying these massive burdens and weights. And so in any situations where we can support the small business over the large business, we would encourage everybody to do so. I think November 20th, I believe, is Small Business Saturday. So let's all make a push as we think about getting ready for the holidays, as we think about having family and friends around for Thanksgiving, as we start to prepare to do Christmas shopping for ourselves and our families and friends and communities. Let's all make a big, big push in 2024 to support as many small businesses as we possibly can.
Yeah, I mean, building a small business is definitely not for the faint of heart, Landon. You nailed it. A couple things that are actually just something I'll clarify. So November 20th is on your mind because that's something that I should have mentioned at the top of the show. We're doing a webinar on the good, the bad, and the ugly of buying a small business on November 20th. But Small Business Saturday is November 30th.
That's right.
Saturday, November 30th. So it's the Saturday after Thanksgiving, after Black Friday, et cetera. So yeah, I think that's super important. I think that supporting small businesses is something that any of us should do. If we can buy directly from a small business, we should definitely do it. They need the support more than these larger businesses do, for sure. But I do want to call out something that I think that some people misunderstand, right? Like, I'm going to avoid buying from Amazon, or I'm going to avoid buying from Walmart because I want to support the small business. And if there's a way to do that for what you need, more power to you, absolutely do that. But it's important to understand that most of the products sold on Amazon or at Walmart are sold and manufactured by small businesses. So don't just boycott Amazon or Walmart or these large companies. Make sure that you dig a little bit deeper and you understand who you're actually supporting in terms of the product that you're buying. But absolutely, if you can buy direct from a small business, support those small businesses. They need it. They definitely deserve it. They're out there doing everything that they can to create jobs, to build businesses that matter, to pay taxes. They're doing all these things. I think that on TV, you get this rhetoric, especially during this political season, about how small or businesses need to pay their fair share, right? Or to higher tax rates for businesses, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is there is billions, trillions of dollars in taxes that are paid by businesses throughout our country. They are paying their fair share. They should be supported. And anything that we can do to do that is great. So I do want to kind of jump a little bit from a topic. So I mentioned early on, first of all, there's a bunch of new businesses being formed right now, which is typical. When we go through kind of an economic slowdown, when we go through a pandemic, when we go through something that's kind of big that happens in our country, or multiple things that are big, a lot of people either got laid off during the pandemic and decided, you know what, rather than trying to find another job, I'm just going to start my own business. Or if they think that there's an economic slowdown coming or a recession, and that's kind of been like teased for the last 3 years that we were on the cusp of a recession, but we've managed to avoid that for the most part. And so what happens is people who have entrepreneurial spirits or want to endeavor in that direction end up opening a small business, right? So there's a huge number of small businesses that have opened over the last 5 years. We want to get out there and support them. But, you know, another thing that I mentioned is that most of those businesses will never exceed $1 million in revenue. Like a really high percentage of businesses, like close to 90% of those businesses will never exceed $1 million. And so the reality is there's a lot of different things that can be done to help a business get beyond $1 million. Some businesses don't ever want to get past that, right? Like some, what I would call solopreneurs, are really just trying to provide themselves a job, not working for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with that, right? We need those types of people. They're great for our economy. It's great for them to provide a great life for their families and have the freedom to just kind of work for themselves. But if you want to build a business that's beyond $1 million, there are certain steps that need to be taken. And it's not just that your business or your industry, it's that you understand how business operates and having clean cash flow having clean financials and making sure that you're managing your cash flow and all those types of things that are business related, regardless of what kind of business you're in, compared to being really good at what you do or the service that you provide.
Excellent point. And we're kind of out of time for today, but yeah, I love that, man. And that's something that we're kind of on a mission to do, is to help the small business community to build just better, more valuable, more transferable businesses. That's what we're all about. So I'll give one final shout out, a nod to the webinar that we're doing on November 20th at 9 a.m. Pacific time. We're doing it with Jed. He is an acquisition entrepreneur who bought a business, and about a year after he bought it, actually had to shut it down. And so he's going to share some really good insights and stories with us. We're going to talk about not just running our own successful small business, but other businesses that we have run outside of Backbone Planning Partners. So we'll talk about some of the successes and the challenges that we have had. Our other buddy / partner, Brian Shields, is a really well-known acquisition entrepreneur and kind of an advocate on burnout. So he may or may not join us for some commentary. He just texted me, So he may or may not be able to join, but hopefully he can. So yeah, it's going to be a good one. So come join us on that webinar, learn a little bit about what it takes to buy and to operate a small business successfully. And then we'll get some really great insights from Jed and hear about a story, a real life story about an acquisition that unfortunately didn't work out. And he's willing to just kind of lay it all out there just for one purpose. That is for, you know, the greater good, to learn from his experiences. So we'll look forward to seeing everybody there.
Yeah, no, I absolutely appreciate that. And our next episode is talking specifically about what we at Backbone Planning Partners do for small businesses. Now, most of the businesses that we work with, all cards on the table, are doing $5 million or more in revenue, right? But the things that we're going to talk about, the techniques that we're going to talk about that we work with our businesses to go from 5 million to 20 or 50 million in revenue, they're the same techniques and things that you need to be doing inside of your business to go from 750,000 to 1.5 million to 3 million and so on and so forth. So definitely tune in for that. We hope everybody has a great Thanksgiving. We'll actually talk to you on the webinar before Thanksgiving, but I think we're up for our next podcast after Thanksgiving. So everybody have a great Thanksgiving. We're into the holiday season, and thanks for joining us today.
Yeah. Listening to Tycoons of Small Biz, a podcast for small business owners by small business owners. Be sure to follow us on our social media channels for links to all our episodes and great content around growing, investing in, buying, and selling small businesses. This podcast is distributed for informational purposes only. Statements made in the podcast are not to be construed as personalized investment or financial planning advice, may not be suitable for everyone, and should not be considered as solicitation to engage in any particular investing or planning strategy. Listeners should conduct their own review and exercise judgment, or consult with their professional financial advisor to see how the information contained in this podcast may apply to their own individual circumstances. All investing involves risk of loss, including the possible loss of principal. Past performance does not guarantee future results, and nothing in this podcast should be construed as a guarantee of any specific outcome or profit. All market indices discussed are unmanaged, do not incur management fees, costs, and expenses, and cannot be invested into directly. Investment advisory services offered by Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives provide legal or accounting advice. The content of this podcast represents the views and opinions of Austin Peterson and Landon Mance, and or the podcast guest, and do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Backbone Planning Partners, LLC. Statements made in this podcast are subject to change without notice. Neither Backbone Planning Partners, LLC, nor its representatives, the podcast host, or its guests have an obligation to provide revised statements in the event of changed circumstances.